This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode of GameScoop is brought to you by GameFly.
Come get some. Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
I'm going to send it. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Game Scoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis, Scoop. Mark Medina,
hello,
and Jonathan Dornbush.
Beyond?
And we've got, no, that's incorrect. We've got a great show for you.
I'm rusty.
You have to leave.
Got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about, there's this new game. I don't know if anyone else is aware. Spider-Man is out now.
Never heard of it.
And actually, if I look at my Twitter feed, it's actually all that anyone can talk about these days.
Yep.
We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with Nintendo these days. Someone is worried Nintendo has lost its edge. Yeah. We'll get to the bottom of this. But first, Mark, GameScoop 500 is less than a month away.
Yeah.
It's so a sold out event.
It is sold out. It's, yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting.
It's the television event of the year. Happening on October 5th, Friday.
I was with you up until it is sold out though. Yes. Yeah. I get a bunch of there's like 107 tickets
sold out
because I get people like begging me on Twitter to open up more tickets and I'm sorry, I just can't keep doing it, but I did it for seven people.
Yeah. So is it locked? Is it hard locked now?
It's locked.
No one else can't because even if they tried to bribe you.
The shirts are ordered.
Shirts are ordered, Justin.
Is the biggest problem.
Justin, the shirts are ordered. What are they?
That's just a phrase that we use in the biz.
The shirts are ordered, guys. I'm like, hey, Mark, is that video done? I'm like, the shirts are ordered.
But wait, can I get the CMS link? What does that mean?
Well, it's like, what's it? Anthony Mackie from the, he plays a Falcon. He always says, cut the check.
Is that what
that's what he says. Yeah.
He actually annoys the other people because every time they do a good take, he's like, cut the check. So that's the shirts are ordered.
Anyway. That event is coming up. We're very much looking forward to seeing you all for that event. If you have any questions about it, feel free to hit me up on Twitter, hit up Mark.
Yeah.
There's also the GameScoop fan page on Facebook. If you have any questions about like parking or hotels or anything we can do to help out.
Don't pester me with any of
that. Do not ask. Justin is way too busy and much too important for...
He's just the talent.
Talk to me. Yeah.
He flies in for the event, out the same
day. Well, I mean, he lives in San Francisco, but he has a helicopter.
Yeah.
He has a helicopter that picks him up from his home and brings him here.
Man, it's nighttime. He's wearing sunglasses anyway.
I've never been on a helicopter. Any of you guys?
No.
No.
Why did you have to think about that so long?
You don't know?
Because they do helicopter tours in New York, so I was trying to think if I did one as a kid. I don't think I ever did one.
I actually had to think about it for a sec because there was a gaming event where they did a lot of helicopter rides, and I declined.
Yeah.
No, my first plane ride was last year, so.
Yeah, that's
definitely no helicopter.
I bet being in a helicopter is real loud. That's my impression of it.
That's why they
always have to yell at each other
to talk. Anyway, we were mentioning Spider-Man. We found out this week, it hasn't even been out a week yet at the time of this recording. It's going to be getting a new game plus mode.
in the not too distant future. Yeah. That's been confirmed, right? Now you had Brian Inahar right in here yesterday for a spoiler cast.
Beyond, we had a spoiler cast with the creative director of the game. That's up now.
Did he say anything about the New Game Plus mode?
No, they're still keeping details really vague right now, but he said like they are very much paying attention, not just with New Game Plus, but in general to like fan feedback with the game and whether people are encountering bugs or issues of that. Obviously, they have the three DLCs packs coming up. They're also going to be adding more to photo mode when that comes. Mm-hmm. So they're paying attention to, I think, everything the fans are taking in. My guess is that'll influence New Game Plus a bit.
Mm-hmm. But what are they going to do about the boat people?
the hard tale of the boat people. Tell us about them.
Well, it's not my find. I found it on Reddit, like most people.
And, like everything.
There's boat people that you can... it sounds so funny people. When you say it like that.
The boat people of New York.
We knew, you know, there's boats in the game, but Spider-Man can't swim.
They're like, far away in the distance.
And when you get in the water, he doesn't swim. He just floats.
Yeah.
And it's very slow. And so... you know, we went out to one and turned on photo mode, and they literally look like characters from GoldenEye for instance.
There's like four polygons in the entire boat person.
And there's only like two faces.
And the photo mode lets you get like right up
real close to make cool comic book photos, all that. Some people are theorizing that it's not just like, I wouldn't say, you know, they're saying that it's an Easter egg. But I don't know if I buy it.
What's an Easter egg?
The Easter egg is that it's from Spider-Man on PlayStation 1.
I don't know about
that.
Like,
I remember when characters look this bad. They're like, what the character models look
like. I mean, so. I like the idea that the boat people are just canonical in this. They're like lizard people that are going to come up from the ground and be in the sequel.
They're their own species.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
J. Jonah Jameson. Someone get him on the case.
I'm sure he'll have an opinion about that. Mm-hmm. So the three of you have finished Spider-Man.
Yes.
Right? It's great.
What would you want out of a New Game Plus mode?
Man,
I like the approach that God of Wars took with it, which is they obviously very much took their time with that. They didn't just throw it up.
Best one ever.
It's so smart because they added, obviously you can start the game over and you have all of the armor that you accrue and everything like that, but they upgraded the level of the enemies to a certain extent and included a sort of new difficulty tier, as well as introduced a new sort of collectible that you could use as a resource.
New gear tier, new collectibles, the important thing is new enemy behaviors that you'll never see anywhere else in the game except in this difficulty. They do new stuff. That's so smart and like exciting and like what a way to breathe new life into a single player game.
I think there was a few crimes that I think I only saw like once in the in the entire game. I have the platinum trophy, and there's a specific crime where it was like these criminals broke out and you have to chase them all down. And I failed it on my first try because I'd never seen that crime before. I've never seen this. And so I think and it was kind of cool after doing like 60 of them. I was like, hey, this one's a little different. And so I think that's something I'd like to see is like new takes on the collectibles you've already done?
The stuff that's already in there. Yeah, I had that crime. That was the final crime I encountered in the game when I was platinuming it, and that was the only time I ever saw it, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. I wish I could have done this a couple more times.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of games that, and if they want to save it till a New Game Plus or after you beat the game, fair enough, but that just give you the keys and let you do whatever you want, even if it's going to break the game, like, just get silly with it. I bought it. I own it. I have the completion thing that shows I already beat the game, so... Like GoldenEye, maybe that's just because GoldenEye's on my brain because we made that joke earlier, but like, hey, make enemy health five times what it was. Like, let's just put criminals all over the city.
Assassin's Creed Origins did that.
Yeah,
they came out with like a PC thing where it was like, you could just run super fast or you could change your character model.
Yeah, spawn alligators everywhere. Yeah. Like, I'd like to see that in Spider-Man. Just let us make some completely sandboxy, insane version of New York if we want to.
New Game Plus is the only place you can see normal people on boats.
Yeah.
That would be
normal. I want the boat people to be the pedestrians in the city.
It's inverse. Yeah.
You can make everyone look like that. Even Spider-Man.
A boat version of Spider-Man.
That should be the secret suit.
He takes off the mask. Oh, no.
It's all super high res.
Put the mask back on.
It's just a giant block.
Now, not everyone was super stoked or reacting to this news super positively on IGN because some people think that New Game Plus mode should be standard. In single player games,
nah,
it used to just be included back in the day. There were just games would just have a New Game Plus mode. No one made a big deal about it.
It does not exist at all.
Well, there's that too. Yeah,
so it's a second quest in Zelda. So there's a precedent here.
I mean, for me, I like the idea of it coming a little later after a game has come out because one, it encourages me to revisit the game maybe when I'm done with it in a way that I wouldn't have. wanted to otherwise. But also, I think it does, in the case of God of War or in the case maybe of Spider-Man, like it gives the developers actual time to see how players are reacting to their game and what they are most drawn to.
That's true.
And so they're able to, obviously they can't massively overhaul it, but they can possibly tweak the New Game Plus mode to actually be what players are interested in, more so just what they think players may want.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think if New Game Plus is just going to be like, hey, start the game over and you keep your shit, like, you know, if they're doing something more special with it, then, you know, take a month and or two and get it right.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, maybe it should be there.
Like being able to make Kratos smile.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I smiled at that point, but it's not like I wasn't just modeling it. I was just saying he can smile in New Game Plus.
What do you think about the cynical view that... now the New Game Plus mode has been held back post-launch so that they get another marketing
beat. I don't think it's that cynical. For a single-player game, it's tough to have to sell your game beyond the launch day. People have to keep buying that game for a few months for video games to exist as a business. So if it's creating value for people, giving them a reason to, you know, giving GameScoop a reason to talk about it again and IGN some reason to make some videos about it again and, you know, more message board topics. But then if you have a major fan, it's an opportunity for them to re-engage with this product that you made in a new way. Like, I think it's wonderful.
And at the very least, I mean, it is a case-by-case basis in my mind, but something like Spider-Man probably doesn't need the extra PR boosts. It does pretty well on its own just with that property. But yeah, I agree with you. It does help keep that longevity alive, and whether that's intentional or not, it's a really smart approach.
There's an element of it just lets a winning game win more. Mm-hmm. But it would never turn like a losing game into a winning game. Like if you have a game that didn't sell well that people don't care that much about, like releasing your New Game Plus mode 6 weeks later isn't like we might not even cover it at that point.
I was trying to think of a game that bombed this year, a single player game that bombed, but I couldn't really think of one. Has every single player game this year been well received?
Been pretty good. I mean,
that's why you can't think of one. It's because I don't know. Like any game that didn't do well is just out of mind.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Mm-hmm. Then there's the fact that, you know, we're always talking about on GameScoop how many games are coming out. We can't keep up with all these games.
Yep.
We're at the start of the fall season. Like, how often do you guys even play New Game Plus modes? Like, I don't think, I can't remember the last time I did.
I don't even finish games usually.
I know you don't.
I did finish Spider-Man, though.
It's like cool that Spider-Man's getting a New Game Plus mode. I haven't even finished the main game yet. Not sure if I will this fall with everything else coming out. So
I popped into God of War just to see what it looked like to skip a cutscene, because the whole point of that game,
I also, I always assume that the cutscenes were like masking loading time.
Yeah, I thought that too. And the fact that it's like, it just takes a few beats and then it pops up. And then it, just to kind of see what it looks like to have the blades on your back from the very beginning of the game. I thought that was cool. But other than that, it's kind of like, nah, I was good.
Yeah, they're not a thing I go back to often. God of War was sort of an exception, but it is that thing of there are so many games coming out for us, and we need to be able to stay on top of all of that. I think for people who don't have the money or the ability to play all of those games, having something you love and having a new twist on it a month or two after is a nice
thing. Yeah, if it comes out in October or November, I can't think of a free second I would have to go back to Spider-Man.
Yeah. That's true.
When I was a kid and I got fewer games, and like JRPGs were my favorite thing, like New Game Plus was fun to just go in and stomp. You know, it's just a romp, right? Like you're just going to destroy everything.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's just sort of a cherry on top of like a fun experience. Like the stuff that gave you so much trouble the last time around is not really fun.
I'm reminded of Castlevania Symphony of the Night with the upside down castle.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should do that with Spider-Man.
Whoa.
Upside down New York.
Ooh, yeah. The Doctor Strange game.
So I would do two cool things. It'd make the web slinging make more sense because your webs are clinging to the ground. And then also you have to keep swinging or else you're just going to fall.
You just fall to where?
Oh, yeah.
Boy.
Think about that. That really
confuses me.
It's the Australian version.
It's the Australian version. Yep. That's how.
We'll get Lucy to review that version.
Yeah.
That's how it works, everybody.
Yep.
All right, moving on.
So Spider-Man works.
A classic video game turned 25 this week. Does anybody know what it was?
25. What year was that? Give me a hint.
Well, 1993. A classic video game was released this week, 25 years ago, here in North America.
I was one.
You were one.
It's not Sonic the Hedgehog.
It's not Sonic the Hedgehog, no.
But almost.
But it's not on that level either, but it's a beloved cult favorite. It is Treasure's first game.
Treasure's first game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is Gunstar Heroes.
I was thinking it was Gunstar Heroes.
Gunstar Heroes, 25 years old, Sega Genesis game. Mark and Jonathan, have you guys ever played this game?
No.
Are you guys aware of it?
Yeah, I played it.
I've heard of it.
I played it when it was available on the Wii Virtual Console
because
of the high re-review IGN gave it.
Oh, yeah.
I think IGN gave it like somewhere in the nines, and I was like, oh, this must be good. Yeah,
it's definitely like a very well,
yeah.
It was well-received at the time and still a very well-remembered game from the Genesis library.
I played the what was it, the Game Boy Advance? Was it a sequel or a revival?
Yeah, it was like a new game. Yeah, it was like Gunstar Heroes Neo or something like that.
Yeah, I played that more than the original.
Yeah. But yeah, that was Treasure's first game. And Treasure was made by guys that left Konami.
Yeah.
And you can totally see like what they had done with Contra leading into Gunstar Heroes.
This may have been, we may have talked about this on Scoop before, but Treasure is a company that's technically still around. It's not like, oh, they're defunct, they're out of business, but they're not, they haven't released a game in years.
Their last game was released in 2014.
Yeah.
For 3DS in Japan only. It was Geist Crusher God.
Oh, wow.
And now nobody knows. Like, well, is Treasure gone?
Like, they just polished up Ikaruga and put it on the Switch and PS4, but like, that doesn't take 4 years, I don't think. and they're certainly not going to make enough money to like fund a studio for 4 years.
Yeah, so it feels like the video game climate in 2018 would make it easier and better for like a cult hit house to, you know, like Treasure to succeed. Like, release your smaller games on Switch for like this core audience that's really passionate about it, and PC, like, make your money, you know, make the next one.
Yeah,
it's all kinds of people making weird like visual novels now.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know what Treasure is up to these days, but
someone let us know.
I don't think nobody knows.
No,
not even Treasure.
Former 1UP and IGN personality Sam Kennedy mentioned this week that he thought Gunstar Heroes was his favorite 16-bit game.
Mm.
What do you guys think is your favorite 16-bit game? Justin's, I know. We all know it's Super Metroid.
Yeah. Super Mario World.
Super Mario World.
Yeah. No doubt.
No doubt.
Is that what you listened to when you were
playing Super Mario World?
The classic sound.
Top three video games. It was either Super Mario World or Portal 2 for the longest for the top.
But it's not a 16-bit game.
But then now Mario 64 has taken over them all. So I think Super Mario World is either second or third.
Now, like what you just said, now Super Mario.
It's a lot of change, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mario 64, I got into, like, I don't know.
Oh, you're just saying favorite game ever. I was so confused.
Now it's my favorite game ever.
got it.
So it used to be either Mario World or Portal 2. And so now Mario World or Portal 2 is 2 and 3. Okay. But I don't know which.
Mm.
So I love them both so much.
The launch Super Nintendo game is your favorite 16-bit game. It was never topped. There was never a better.
No, there isn't.
Okay.
Is there?
Streets of Rage 2.
I think people make a lot of arguments for Link to the Past.
Never played Link to the Past.
Oh, wow.
See you guys.
This guy.
Not a Zelda boy. I'm really not. I played Ocarina of Time, and that's a good game. And then I played it again on 3DS.
good game. Yeah.
That's my review for Zelda Ocarina of Time. And then I played Breath of the Wild.
I've heard of it.
Which is great. Yeah. That's a good game.
I think Ocarina is harder to appreciate now if you didn't experience it when it came out than Link to the Past. I think Link to the Past is easier to go back to.
We've talked about this before. 16-bit graphics have aged better than the early 3D
absolutely.
Visuals.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan, have you been able to spend much time with 16-bit games?
Yeah, Portal 2 is definitely
Portal 2. Yes, that's a good 16-bit game.
I never owned an SNES originally when I was growing up, so I came to a lot of stuff late, and then even explored a few when the SNES Classic came out and found a few things there. But Mario World was something that I picked up when it was on the Game Boy Advance. They did that re-release for it.
That's when I played Mario World as well.
That's how I discovered a lot of things, was when they were re-releasing stuff there. And Mario World honestly still is not number 2 or 3 for me, but it's up there in my like top 10 games of all time. I adore that game.
I was a Genesis kid growing up, and I didn't get my Super Nintendo until pretty late, like after the PS1 had came out. You know, it was that glorious thing where you get a console for like $60, and then all the games are $10, and then you then if you're like me, you lay them all out and roll around in them.
Yep.
And so that's when
it's a hot Iowa summer. They're all sticking to you.
Oh, it's great. You just one still on your back.
Like days later. It's
what the heck?
Now I don't remember what point I was trying to make.
That's your favorite.
I played the SNES Mini, but the only thing I played on it so far is Earthbound.
Ooh.
And that's a fun video game.
That's a really cool game. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Did you know there are other games on it besides Earthbound?
I know that now because you just told me.
Yeah.
I thought it was an Earthbound machine.
I tried to play F-Zero on the SNES Classic. Mm. Boy,
yeah?
That game is very different than I remember.
Really?
Really?
The original.
I would imagine that would still be fun in the same way that Pole Position is still fun.
I don't know, man. Like, you're pinballing all around. Yeah. It's also like you can beat like the first two cups are fun, and then after that, it's impossible.
It gets super hard. Yeah.
So, what's your favorite Genesis game?
That is a good question. I don't know. Okay. I'll have to get back to you on that.
Get back to us.
Maybe Phantasy Star 4?
Wow. Going RPG. Yeah, JRPG. You just said you're a big fan of the JRPGs.
Took them no time at all to get back to us.
That's true.
That's great. Yeah.
I mean, I always make fun of Sonic. I make fun of Sonic so much, but I played a lot of like Sonic 3.
Yeah, Sonic's fun.
Yeah. Was 3D Blast on the Genesis?
Yeah.
I played that a lot for some reason.
And Spinball.
Oh, yeah.
The pinball game.
If you want it, it's there.
I'll take it.
I'm probably Mortal Kombat 3. I don't know. I'll keep thinking about it.
Okay. All right.
GameScoop is sponsored by Gamefly, the best way to buy and rent your favorite games. Gamefly.com gives you access to 9,000 titles, which are mailed directly to your door. For one monthly fee, you can play the latest and greatest games for as long as you want, with no late fees or due dates, ever. When you get tired of a game, all you have to do is mail it back, and they'll send you the next title on your list. Today, every Scoop listener gets access to a free premium 30-day trial by going to Gamefly.com/Scoop. That premium trial lets you rent two titles at the same time, and you get it by going to Gamefly.com/SCOOP. Gamefly.com/Scoop. Check it out.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com, just like John in Charlotte, North Carolina did. Mm. He says, medium-time listener, first-time writer. I've enjoyed listening to your podcast for a while now, mainly when I go out for a jog. Who says video games can't help you stay in shape? For extra material, I've been working my way through a lot of the past episodes' archive. Wow. I'm currently up to late 2015. Jonathan, Mark, were you with us then in late 2015?
Yeah, that's when I started.
That's when you started.
I was not. I was 2016, but I was listening.
You were listening. Okay. Says, I've listened to several shows discuss how excellent Metal Gear Solid 5 is. Yeah. I've never played a Metal Gear game before, but everything you describe about it grabs my interest. My question, given I know next to nothing about the Metal Gear franchise, other than there are some characters named Solid Snake and Big Boss, is it possible to jump into the series with this one and still appreciate it? Or is the mythos just too impenetrable at this point? I really can't see myself going back to play any of the previous games, so are there any plot points or specific details that would make much difference in how much I enjoy this one?
Can sum it up pretty quickly, I think.
Oh, you can?
No, I can't at all. Five was actually the first Metal Gear game I ever jumped into. I hadn't played the series before.
There you go.
And story-wise, yeah, there's definitely things that I miss, but on like a gameplay level, I think it's pretty easy to jump into that game.
It's mostly a systems-driven game to begin with.
Yep. Yeah, I've played two Metal Gear Solid games, the first one and 5.
Yeah.
And I loved 5. It's one of my favorite games of this generation.
But the first one, you mean Metal Gear Solid.
Is that not what I said?
Yeah. Well, but there's Metal Gear.
There's Metal Gear.
I said,
okay.
Two Metal Gear Solid games, the first one and 5.
All right.
So, like, not having played 2, 3, and 4 didn't diminish my enjoyment of that game at all. Mm. Yes, the story is nonsense. It's incomprehensible. There's just like all this crazy stuff. It's like stuff that looks cool on screen, but it doesn't make any sense that it's happening. But the gameplay loop is, you don't need to know any of the Metal Gear lore to get involved in the gameplay loop, and it is super, super satisfying.
It's crazy to me that they have not, obviously Konami's interests have changed a lot, but it's crazy that they never released the rest of those games on PS4 as a collection when they had the PS3 collection.
Was there never a Metal Gear? Wait.
Of all of them together.
PS4.
On PS4 specifically, yeah. They had the Legacy Collection.
To play 4, you have to get a PS3 out.
Yeah.
That's a lot of weird stuff like that, like, I don't know, like Sly Collection or whatever, that like, oh, these games are back and they're on PS3, all these games, like now they're back and accessible again. Yeah. But now the cycle starts anew and now everyone's PS3 is in the closet. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get PS4 versions of them. It's like, oh.
Yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to sell them to us again.
I've never played Metal Gear just because I played the first one. I played the first one like back in the day, but like not like hardcore. And then so I didn't play 5 because I was like, I'm not going to know what's going on. But then I found out that most people that have played all the Metal Gears still didn't know what was going on in Metal Gear.
Oh, 5. Yeah. That's the thing. So that's like, the big secret.
Why is he growing that weird horn? What's that about?
Nope.
I was like, I should have just played it then.
Don't worry.
I'd have been confused with everyone.
Don't worry about that too much. No, don't let not having played the other games hold you back, John in Charlotte, North Carolina.
I tweeted about this recently. I don't remember if I brought it up on GameScoop, but I actually have a lot of anxiety about starting franchises midstream.
Yeah.
And I try to be, I'm sort of OCD, well, I guess I shouldn't phrase it that way because it's not actual OCD, but just like every gamer, like when things aren't going in the right order, I like checking off the boxes, and I get stressed out about playing the second or third game in a franchise without playing the originals.
Yeah.
So then I go back and start the original, but oftentimes the original is like more mediocre, and it's not the game I wanted to play anyway.
Yeah.
And then I don't even end up playing the game that I actually wanted to play. Like, and I was so satisfied that I just sort of confessed that on social media and got dozens of replies of people being like, "Yes, that's why I don't play Assassin's Creed games." Like. Even if you know, like, they're pretty compartmentalized and these games are good about easing you in, like, in my mind, I know there's still going to be callbacks and things that I don't get and things of that nature. Or even seeing the gameplay evolve, even if it's not storyline, like, seeing the systems evolve and the things they add to it, like, not appreciating that totally stresses me out. And it causes me to miss out on many long-running video game
franchises. That seems like a mental block you should try to get past.
Yeah, I hadn't played an Assassin's Creed since 4. But Origins looks so cool that I was just like, screw it. And I played Origins. And I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm generally pretty good about shifting into like screw it mode, especially as I get older. It's just like, well, you know, life's too short. Just play whatever you want. Stop when you're not having fun anymore. But in the case of video games, I find it pretty hard.
Yeah. Well, because you feel like, I think you feel like you're missing out on fun. You're like, I like Origins, but I like Metal Gear 5, but would I like it more if I knew what was going on?
Oh, for sure.
And just, so you feel like you're just like missing out.
As someone that wants to have like general video game like literacy, like it's hard to jump into the fifth game in a franchise without really understanding what preceded it.
Yeah, but like you also got to be realistic. Like it's not like playing a video game is a much bigger time investment than watching a movie. Right. Yep. So if a new Star Wars come out, you can catch up with Star Wars in a much shorter amount of time than you can catch up with Metal Gear starting from the beginning.
Well, and it's also easier even with like a TV show where the investment can be 5 or 6 seasons, but it's usually much more accessible to jump into a TV show.
Or they even do like, you know, previously on, like they do this sort of hammy stuff, but at least it's something. Like video games for as insane as like, you know, video game fans are, and I say this as I am one, you know, they're obsessive and there's no links to the amount of stuff that they'll catalog and categorize. Like, there's not really very wonderful tools for like helping someone jump into the new Assassin's Creed. And like, I'm thinking about like A Song of Ice and Fire books. There's a wiki, I think it's Tower of the Hand or something, where it gives you like a bullet point summary chapter by chapter, like these three things happened in this chapter, these three things happened in that chapter. So you can like, okay, I'm picking this book up after 6 months. Like, there's no like video game equivalent of like previously on. Like, I don't know. That's actually a pretty interesting idea.
We do the IGN in 5 minutes.
Yeah, we do IGN in 5 minutes. But that's more of like an entertaining product than like
it hits all the like main story beats. Yeah.
It's true. And it's mostly just story, not like gameplay.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, long story short, play Yakuza 0. That's an excellent place to pick up the franchise.
If you're taking anything from this discussion.
Yeah. Also play Metal Gear Solid 5.
Okay. It's really good. We all own it now. It was on PS Plus a few months ago.
We got snail mail this week. This is from Matthew in Duluth, Minnesota. It's half of a calendar. It's written on half of a calendar that I tore out. It says, "Dear GameScoop, greetings from a beach in Minnesota." Because it's on Lake Superior. I'm writing to ask, do you think Zelda Wind Waker, Skyward Sword,
oh no,
or Mario Sunshine will ever be brought to Switch? I haven't played any of these games yet, but have wanted to since they came out. My dream is physical copies of all three. I won't settle for less. Also, in my dream, Wizard of Legend and Celeste are in physical carts as well. Best wishes, Matthew Campa.
It's a tough one. I would love to see Sunshine again, but it's like, it's Wii games that do kind of get trapped. And Sunshine's GameCube, but like the right trigger, the way it was designed is you know, pressure touch, where the new triggers don't have that. And so like, if Flood would only shoot a certain amount depending on how much you push down on it. That controller was designed for that game.
Yeah, but Counterpoint, who really cares that much?
Wait, about
they
the whole thing?
I mean, they
could just make it adjust. Like,
just like, have it slowly, thing. Like, slowly yeah, ramp
turn
up.
Turn into
a
time
that's
thing.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Is like, while I think it's doable, it's harder than just like making it like they have to create. Like, same way he says Skyward Sword, like the game completely motion controlled.
Well, that's exactly like all joking aside. I've talked on Scoop before about I'm sort of concerned or dismayed at the number of classics that feel like they're going to be trapped on the Wii forever without being significantly reworked. Like 20 years from now, we're presumably going to be able to play every single Zelda game except for this one because it's got these weird motion controls that feel like they're going to be weird to port in a modern context. Like, you're still going to be able to play A Link to the Past on every Nintendo device and probably your phone by then, but did not this. There's always going to be the asterisk next to like the Wii version, that motion control heavy versions of these games.
He says Wind Waker, right? Which
it's the greatest tragedy of
all. Well,
because
that came to Wii U, not Switch.
Yeah, so I don't think that one's trapped in any sort of way.
That's the greatest
tragedy. Now, yes, that's the greatest tragedy of the Switch, that Wind Waker has not been brought to it yet. I still have my Wii U set up because of Wind Waker, because it's my favorite Zelda.
Did you get that edition? Like that?
Yeah,
bundle?
I have the Wind Waker
edition.
That's
the one I got too.
It is my favorite Zelda. It's one of my favorite games of all time. I adore that game, and it bums me out that that wonderful version of that game can't be brought over to the Switch. Like, it can.
It can. Just hasn't.
They just have. Yeah. And they have to at some point, I would imagine. But
I think we're gonna get Sunshine. Odyssey made some reference to it, and there was the Sunshine, I think, outfits or whatever it was. And there were even rumors. I don't know where those rumors came from. Maybe they just came from the costumes that there was gonna be levels, like Sunshine levels, ported over into Odyssey. I think because they're the same style of Mario game. Like Galaxy 1 and 2 brought it back to more like abstract platforming, whereas Sunshine was a much more like exploration and like poke and prod the world and see what you can find style of game, and brought the camera back behind Mario's shoulder again. So I think we're ripe to see Sunshine sort of come back, but I think Nintendo's being very measured about their platform not just being a port machine, and so that they're trying to balance that.
Yeah. I'm sure somewhere deep in Nintendo's Kyoto headquarters, there's a timeline where they do have like plans to bring back all these older games. It's just it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense from our perspective, like when they actually roll this stuff out.
Sure.
Yep.
But I'm sure there are, you know, plans way into the future to bring back some of this stuff. I would love to play Sunshine again. I haven't really played it since it was originally out. Mm-hmm. That Wind Waker Wii U version is fantastic. And then Skyward Sword is the only Zelda I've never played because I was so over the Wii when that came out.
Sunshine's half of a really great Mario game.
Half of a really great Mario game. What half is missing?
Well, like half the stars are bullshit. Like half of them are really, really good, but then it's like there's so much filler. Like every single world had you chasing the Shadow Mario or whatever he was, and then finding the gold coin or the blue coins. I don't know.
I really like Delfino Plaza back in the days.
Oh yeah, I love all that music and I love the world design and I love Flood and I'm not trying to be like pejorative when I say it. Like half of that game is really, really wonderful, but it's not worth trying to 100%.
That's interesting. We also found out that the Nintendo Switch Online service is going to launch September 18th. Woo-hoo. And there's a Nintendo Direct happening about that tomorrow. So I know there'll be more information coming out of that. That's why I didn't really include it in the run of show today. Nintendo Voice Chat will handle that tomorrow. Keeping with Nintendo here, we have an email from Matt from Birmingham, Alabama. He says, in its golden age, Nintendo was the leader in not only innovation, but also graphical design. Games like Link to the Past, Mario 3, Mario 64, Ocarina of Time, and many others come to mind. While Nintendo today is still innovative, I feel they rely heavily on nostalgia and their characters. Has Nintendo fallen behind as being the leading edge of the gaming industry? Love listening to the show. Keep up the good work.
Yes.
Okay. It is true that, Nintendo had the 8-bit era all to itself with no real competitors to speak of. Sorry, Sega Master System. And it is true, during the 8 and 16-bit eras, Nintendo led in both innovation and in graphics, I think. They were head-to-head, neck-and-neck for a long time, the Genesis and the SNES, but SNES pulled out at the end. It was really, I think, when games started becoming more realistic with 3D games that Nintendo struggled to keep up, because realism has never been Nintendo's thing. They've always been more cartoonish, right? Does that make sense?
I mean, he name dropped the Super Mario 64, but it's arguable. I mean, I think it's a much, much better game than anything that hit the PS1. But There was a big discussions at the time about sort of the blurry 3D graphics that the N64 put forth and sort of the sharper and jaggier graphics that the PS1 output.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's like a clear consensus on like, you know, one being more powerful or superior than the other from a graphical standpoint. So even as early as then, they were already kind of starting to fall behind. And then by the GameCube, they gave up.
Mm-hmm. I think they're still trying with the GameCube. I think maybe it was the Wii is when they were like, all right, we give up. We can't directly compete with PlayStation and Xbox anymore. We have to do something completely different.
Yeah.
And that worked out really well for them.
For me, like the answer to it for my own view of it is very complicated because they're not on the bleeding edge technology-wise in terms of the highest graphics and the highest fidelity, but they're not trying to anymore. Like you said, with the Wii, that was sort of where that wasn't their interest anymore. But on the same side of that, they still are very invested in the art of their games and the design of everything. And I still think they're producing beautiful character designs and worlds and all these sorts of things.
Yeah.
But in terms of worrying about those being the highest fidelity thing out there, that's not their primary concern.
They spoke about how they are trying to push technology forward and break new ground, just not in sort of the traditional, like pure horsepower. Their consoles are smaller and quieter and draw less power.
Yeah.
And like that requires R&D. Like that doesn't just happen. Like you have to make a deliberate effort, you know, at a corporate level in order to have, you know, a small, quiet, you know, non-power sucking device. Sony and Xbox just aren't interested in doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the Switch just being handheld in general, like Breath of the Wild is a fully handheld game. Like that's not, I would assume that's not very easy to do, and they've done it. So it's like, yeah, it's not. And Breath of the Wild is gorgeous. I don't think anybody can say it's not. So yeah, as far as like polygon count, sure, but they're ahead in other ways, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still like occasionally, like obviously the Switch is handheld, right? Like no duh. Yeah. But it's still like, it like sort of hits me sometimes. It's like, oh yeah, like I can just take this game anywhere. Like, and that's unbelievable. Like that Mario and Zelda in particular, these games that feel huge and expansive and impressive, like...
Yeah, when I first played like Doom on the Switch here at work, I was like, oh, it clearly looks worse. Like, why would anyone play this? And then I was like, oh yeah, because you can do this and go wherever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of being on the edge, like their concern is how you like the way you interact with their games and whether it is making it on the go or at home or with the Joy-Cons or with Wii Motion or now something like Labo, like they're interested in looking at how people actually interact.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's smart because they kind of have no choice. Like, they can't win a war of, like, pure horsepower. Like, Sony and Microsoft are...
If you look at something like God of War, you know, I don't think Nintendo has it in them. I don't think they're built up to create a game that looks like that.
And just the institutional knowledge that requires a team of experts doing the HD texture work and all the rest of that, like, Nintendo... Like, that doesn't just happen. Like, they can't just snap their fingers and will into existence the ability to make games that look and feel like that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's a real artistic and engineering technical skill Sony and Microsoft Studios have built up over a decade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If sales numbers prove anything, it's that they don't really have to. That they're doing fine with what they're kind of...
They're doing fine now. Yeah. But like, you know, if you look at the life of Nintendo since the start of the NES, they, like, had... Really high peak,
sure,
kind of a slow
pinballs around, too.
Decline over the next few generations, where each generation sold less and less. Then they really came back in a big way with the Wii, then kind of back down with the Wii U, but now they're like back into a comfortable place.
But they're still here,
and they're still gonna be here.
Yeah,
it does feel like pulling a rabbit out of the hat, though, right? Like the Switch is overwhelmingly successful, and it's actually my console of choice. Like Switch and PC, like those are the two ways that I interact with video games most often. So I'm coming at this from a perspective of a fan. But that being said, like, the Switch will end at some point, right? And maybe they'll do some Switch 2, like, find some way to ride that wave. But it feels like, as a company, like, they sort of rely on a stunt that will carry them through a decade, and then they're going to need another one. Like, I don't know, like, what's, like, the 100-year vision, you know?
because I think Wii was, like, it was, like, a huge spike and then just... dropped off like towards the end there.
But maybe,
well, I don't know about that. I think there was 2 or 3 years where it was extremely popular, I think.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it's sort of unclear, like the Switch is on that cusp. Like it could start to fade faster or it could continue to have sustained success. I do think like the long-term vision, the decades-long vision, is a company that's focused on play and like new ways of play, like they probably will be all right. Like they were not always a video game company, and maybe they won't be again in the future.
Maybe they'll get back into love hotels. Who knows? Now, Nick from Kalamazoo, Michigan has a conspiracy theory.
Uh-oh.
Or shift your mindset to Bethesda and Starfield.
Wait, okay. give me a second. Done.
Okay. The long-running sort of like sci-fi RPG they've been working on that was officially revealed at E3. Yep. Nick says, what if the new Starfield game from Bethesda is really just the canceled Prey 2 being brought back to life under a new IP on current-gen consoles? Interested to hear what Camp Goose has to say. If everyone remembers, Prey 2 was shown off at E3
2011.
I
think it was 2011. I was at that E3 and I remember.
2011
I think it was
or 12.
It might be 12, yeah.
Well, no, because I think I saw it in the same demo session with Todd Howard that he showed off Skyrim.
Yes,
which
yeah.
is out 2011. Yeah, so yeah. I think it was 2011. And it was a very impressive demo. Like you were going to be able to play a space bounty hunter hunting down people. And
that demo's amazing.
It was really, really good. And then, of course, the game was canceled. Now they've got this new sci-fi RPG they've been working on Starfield for a long time. I don't know. What are the chances that it's really just Prey 2?
None. Yeah. Slim to none.
Probably.
Yeah.
Even because they've even relaunched Prey. Like we have Prey again now.
Yes. Yeah. And I assume intentions of that Prey were very different from what the intentions of Starfield are going to be.
I mean, we have only seen a logo for Starfield, right?
Yep.
A 10-second little.
And a ship doing a space flying.
Yep. Starfield's coming before Elder Scrolls 6? I forget the order they announced.
I don't think
we know.
I think they showed in their E3 showcase, I think it showed Elder Scrolls 6 first.
I got the impression, I would have to go back and listen to Todd Howard's actual quote, but I think Starfield is their next, like following Fallout 76, that's like their next big game.
Really?
Whatever order they were shown in, the way he spoke about them was like, this is the thing beyond, and then this is the thing beyond that beyond.
Exactly.
Like, we're going really far out with those.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whenever we see Starfield gameplay, I don't know. We'll see if it looks like Prey 2, but I would imagine.
That Prey 2 demo was.
We never did get that game.
I mean, Cyberpunk is going to scratch that itch for me, I think.
I think you're right about that. All right, that brings us to video game 20 questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Jesse, right here in California. Let the questioning begin.
Do you? Does your character wear a head covering? And is anything covering their head?
You can.
You can wear something on your head.
Yeah.
I love that has gone from hat to head covering.
This is a saga. It's ongoing. We're in living history right now.
Last time I was here, it was just a hat. Just a simple hat.
The situation is evolving.
I'm not very good at this game yet, so I'll just go with the easy questions, which is, does this game come out after January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Was this game a console exclusive or platform exclusive, excuse me?
No.
Is this game on the PS4 and Xbox One and Switch generation of consoles?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That narrows it down.
I just realized that after 2000 question is like, that's still 18 years.
Yeah, in my head, I'm like, okay, about 10 or 11 years of video game history. And I'm like, nope. Not
no.
Even.
It also messes people up because there were still Nintendo 64 games released after 2000.
Right, right. Doesn't nail it down. Okay, let's see. So is this game first party?
Well, it's not a, hold on.
Wait, yeah, established it's not
multi-platform
exclusive. So yeah, it's multi-platform.
We said it is multi-platform. Yes. Okay, never mind. Scratch that question. Is this game made? I'm telling you, I'm not good at this game yet. I have not had a lot of practice. I don't know the question you ask.
You just gotta practice.
You can ask whatever you want, man. You're your own man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever's gonna help you get there.
Do you create a character in this game?
Yes.
Ooh. Oh boy.
Okay. Is this game first person?
No.
Interesting.
Does this game involve an action set piece set to Kanye West music?
No, I don't think so.
Wasn't that last gen?
I don't know.
Okay.
It doesn't. You know what?
It's one.
I know what you're.
You know what the big secret about this game is? It doesn't matter. What? You can just do whatever you want.
So it's like, whose line is it anyway? The points don't really matter. Let's see.
I was thinking of Saints Row.
Yeah. No, Saints Row 3 is the power.
Is this game open world?
Good question.
No.
No.
not
but you create a
but you create a character.
Not a lot of open, not a lot of non-open yeah. world games where you make a character.
It's probably Batman, Arkham Knight. No, it's probably not.
Create your Batman. And we established it's not first person.
Not first person.
A third person game where you create a character, not in an open world.
Open world,
but multi-platform.
Cloudberry Kingdom
seems. So not sure about that question.
So we,
it's not, I'm a little worried.
I don't want this to come back and bite me in the ass.
We're gonna go down.
Nobody has ever called this an open world game.
So Well, it's one of those like weirdo games where like technically,
yeah.
maybe you could like go back and go around, but like that's
it's kind of really. like I'm not saying it's Tomb Raider, but kind of like Rise of the Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. It's like, are they open world?
I mean, or a game like. I'm trying to think of an example. A game where it's like it's a straight line and there's nothing stopping you from right. going back to the beginning except that there's nothing there.
Like Final Fantasy X.
Yeah.
You just go
yeah.
all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Nobody knows that.
Yeah. Is this game made by Ubisoft?
No.
Okay.
They only make open world games, Jonathan.
Nah, so, something.
That's on current gen consoles.
They just make so many things where you can create characters or
that's true.
Customize.
That's true. Can't stop Ubisoft from letting you create your character.
Can't stop them from giving.
Do you shoot guns in this game?
Yes. Oh. That's 10.
That's what gun shooting looks like. That's what it looks like when you shoot a gun. Man. Okay.
Bethesda. Yeah. But Fallout's first. Yeah. Generally.
Well, and I can't think of a Bethesda. Well,
let's take a
I guess Bethesda Publishing. Well, you can't create your character in any of those games.
You pick a character in Prey.
Right. Ooh.
Can you put a head covering
can
on
your head be covered?
You probably wear a helmet at some point in that game.
Is that open world?
Exactly. Hey, that's why.
That, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I would call that an open world. You're wandering around that space.
Okay, so he said it's a Ubisoft game. Is this game published by Bethesda?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
It's not Prey, guys.
It could be. You can't be Spider-Man. You don't pick your Peter Parker.
No.
Not in this one.
You do put different head coverings on.
Pick
him,
your
though.
Parker.
Yeah.
He said you can. In Spider-Man, you can't not.
True. So third person shooter.
Also very open world.
Yeah. Not open world head covering. No. If you have something.
Is this game part of a franchise?
No.
Oh.
Why did you say it like that?
Why did I say it like that? Yeah.
It's a tough
one. No, so like.
It's a tough one, boys.
There's no other. Yeah. It's not part of the franchise.
All right.
I hate that we're probably missing something.
We don't know that it's a 3D game. It could be a 2D game.
True.
Oh. Okay.
I'm trying to think of
shooty games.
That's this new mobile game I've been playing, 2D shooty.
2D shooty.
Dude, like 2D shooty is actually a pretty good name for.
I know. Yeah. We've got to stop saying these things on the show.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna start stealing them.
Mark, were you
a million dollar ideas?
I don't know. I don't know how to like war. Okay, let's see. Is this game 3D?
Yes.
Oh, it's not a 2D shooting.
Was this game published by a Japanese publisher or company?
No.
Okay.
So it is Bethesda.
Not Bethesda.
The only American publisher. Division. It's Call of Duty.
Yeah. You put head coverings on your Call of Duty person?
Oh, it's a third person. Third person 3D.
Third person. Person. Yeah. I forgot about that. EA games.
What have they done? What have they done?
Besides sports.
Does this game have multiplayer?
Star Wars.
Yes. Oh. That's 15.
Oh. Does. Okay.
Army of Two. That was last gen as well. That might have been two.
I was very impressed. I saw Army of Two cosplay at PAX this year.
Wow.
Anyway.
Were there two of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you?
They're together.
I'm just one.
Good.
I'm just one. I'm one of the guys.
It's Army of Two, but my friend bailed.
You know, Army of Two.
No, I don't know. Honestly, do you go to space in this game?
I don't know.
Oh man.
I don't think so.
We only have four questions left.
We're done for.
This generation hasn't been that long. I'm a little embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's probably the Order 1886, guys.
That's a console exclusive.
Yeah.
That's true. So don't listen to me.
I could try narrowing down publishers still, or Do you think that's a lost cause at this point?
I don't know.
You've been wrong up until now, yeah. Jonathan, so I don't know what to think anymore.
Wow. Mark, that's rude.
I just, like, my guiding principle is, like, okay, let's say I find out it's an EA game. Like, what does that leave me with? Like, whatever's going to help me, like my mind is roiling.
Roiling?
And,
roiling.
And anything that would, like, help settle it.
Was this game critically well-received?
Yes.
Okay. Like I'm curious, like, I'm still hung up on the shooty. Like, is it, I don't know if it's, like, military, like, themed, or if it's, like, I don't know, more like The Order style, like, fantastical or sci-fi style, although you don't go to space. Yeah. So I think that's what you were getting at with that space question.
Maybe it's PUBG. You do shoot a gun. You do the running in the third person.
Fortnite?
Could be Fortnite. I was also thinking Fortnite. Yeah. Okay. Is this game a battle royale?
Yes.
Andres, yeah.
I did it, boys. Okay.
Do you drink slurp juice in this game?
I don't know.
Okay.
Could be anything.
In this game,
two questions.
It's got to be Fortnite because it's third person. PUBG is third person. Okay.
Wait.
Go.
Did Thanos make a cameo in this game?
Yes.
Is it Fortnite?
Yes. Yeah. Oh. 20th question. There you go. Fortnite. Only the biggest game in the world.
I was like, Damon would never do a battle royale. Well, that's the only thing that's adding up.
When I was thinking current gen, I wasn't thinking, like, right now.
Right. Yeah. Right now.
Well, because before I said battle royale, I was going to say, are people still playing this, like, actively? Mm. And then that's where that led me question. To, yeah. You know what, maybe it's just a battle royale game.
Yeah. Yep.
Did Fortnite. I redeem myself for last time?
Yeah, I don't think you did.
I felt pretty.
You guys got it last time you were on.
We did get it, but Sam said I got it wrong.
No, you need to. You need to do what I do and just immediately forget about the whole thing when you leave the studio. You can't be carrying this around. You can't be carrying this monkey on your back for months.
Sam was like, "I think you were wrong in those words, man. They've just stuck for like 2 weeks now.
You've been such a different person.
Rolls off you like water off a duck's back."
The one thing I didn't know it might trip you up is that Fortnite came out last year and was not Battle Royale.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it didn't blow up until this year when they added the battle, or in December or something. So I didn't know if that would trip.
Slurp juice? Was that what you?
That was me. That was Justin.
Is there slurp juice in the game?
Yeah.
And you don't go to space in the game, do you?
I don't think so.
You ride on a battle bus.
Atmosphere.
In space?
Nope.
Okay, I didn't think so.
And maybe in just like the upper troposphere.
Hmm. Good.
It's accurate.
It's a great one.
Not actually in space.
No. Yeah.
Then.
I thought I know of.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we had a lot of fun today. That is all the scoops we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. Hit me up with any questions you have about GameScoop 500. Hit Mark up with any questions you have.
I'm excited to see everyone there.
Everybody have fun playing games this weekend. Spider-Man, Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider's out on Friday. Yakuza, if you're still playing Yakuza, that's also cool.
I've been playing a lot of Two Point Hospital. Fun game.
That's out too.
I've heard good
fun
stuff.
Game.
Now, are you a Theme Hospital fan?
I wasn't.
But
this game's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like, I saw the review. I happened to, like, look over an editor's shoulder, and I was like, 8.5. Okay, I'll check it out. And it's pretty fun.
What's the best, like, disease or sickness you've seen? Because they're all made up.
Like, the Elvis one is cool. I love that it's, like, this character has lightheadedness, and so their head is just a light bulb. Like, so that is, like, super fun.
So it's basically just a whole game of dad jokes.
Yeah.
Sounds wonderful.
It's fun.
Jonathan, what are you playing in the wake of Spider-Man?
Tomb Raider has been sort of my fixation at the moment. Just completed all the challenge tombs. I could do 100 more of those happily.
I never finished Rise, and so I feel like I can't start the new one unless I go back and work my way through Rise.
I've played through the 2015 one multiple times, never finished Rise, and now I feel like weird about Shadow.
I thought Rise was out in 2015.
Yeah, that was.
Or I'm sorry, the 2013 one.
13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The reboot. I beat that one multiple times. Didn't finish Rise, so now I feel like weird.
Rise is also good. I don't like
That's what I was talking about before.
I don't like it quite as much as the first one, but Rise is also very good. Yeah. Anyway, these are all good games everybody should check out. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Jonathan.
Yep.
My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop. And we're out.
I come from a place of
we all do. I want to be real in the world with you. I want to go deep. I need something to keep. I want to chase my dreams, but I just can't sleep. I just can't sleep.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.